There's something to be said for having a good piano player, right?
Thankful for music too when she's not here.
Amen.
Yes. We're thankful for you, Brother Dennis.
If your hands are still nimble enough to play the piano.
Well, you can play the computer.
Yes.
Well, Jesus put the song in our heart.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, it's nice compared to when Debbie left and then we didn't have anybody. We were trying our best, and well, the Lord brought Anna and people in between that filled in.
Yes.
And thankful for the internet that at least you can find some. You have to search, but you got to find some pretty decent music.
Yes.
So
yes.
Yes. Oh yes. I'm excited when she starts playing. I think she's gonna give Anna some competition. So that's exciting. Well, I think we're gonna finish up chapter 7 today, our lesson number 7. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians 7 and verses 39 and 40. And we're gonna wind down our relations seminar that the Apostle Paul established. I'd be kind of curious, like to see the faces of the people as he presented this, and what the look of questions, and hopefully some that are smiling nicely, saying, "Well, that makes sense," and and then the excitement afterward to realize, "Oh, wow, I don't have to if I don't want to, and I can stay married and keep my life as a servant to God." So. Anyway, verse 39. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also I have the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Thank you for the challenges that the Apostle Paul was presented with in answering these questions. And there are many falsehoods that came up. And I thank you, Father, that he set the record straight. He laid out if there was a law regarding marriage and singleness. But Father, he showed where the law was required and where there was no law, where there was liberty. And he pointed that out. And Father, as we go through this life, we will be asked questions of the same thing and be challenged in the same way. And I do pray, Father, that each one of us, that we will seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And as we, many said, fired up a prayer to you to say, "Lord, give me the right words." And I'm sure the Apostle Paul had those very same words, "Lord, give me the words to say," that would make these people glorify you in their service to you. And Father, we thank you for the truth that we see in your word. We thank you for loving us, taking care of us, showing us the right way in which each one of our lives will go. And Father, we want to thank you for all of this, and we ask it for your son's sake. Amen. Now, all through this chapter, the Apostle Paul has always leaned towards singleness because he was single. And he was pointing out that oftentimes single people can focus on the Lord, where a married person, they can focus on the Lord, but they're also focusing on their family and spouse. And he was not trying to downplay marriage. He was trying to show the importance of both and realizing that, yes, God instituted marriage long before he instituted the church. But what he's trying to point out here as we go into this is that people, if they become a widow or a widower, that they're not bound, they don't have to stay unmarried if they don't want to. But the choice is theirs to stay married or not. And what they're pointing out is that the wife is bound by law as long as her husband liveth. Some of these people were giving divorcements for who knows what kind of reasons. We see it today happening. People, divorce happens. People follow through. I'm thankful for people that recognize when it does happen, if they're saved, they give it over to the Lord and they move on with their life. I've had friends that were divorced before they were saved. And if you didn't know their background when they got remarried, you would have never known that they were, just because of the life that they lived, the service to the Lord that they gave. You know, they understood Scripture after they got saved and realized it and says, okay, well, I'll be limited in some things. But it didn't stop the ones that I knew to be great teachers for God. They weren't preachers. They weren't deacons. Although one of them was. And the pastor had a great understanding. He says, this is my understanding and my interpretation. And like I say, if you didn't know anything about this one man, you would have never known that they had been divorced previously. But they stepped into that knowing that God is leading and guiding them. And they're wonderful Christians. We've known them for getting close to 40 years. And it's exciting that they have never wavered in their walk with the Lord. This man's prayer was, I want a Christian radio station. Well, it took him 25 years to get one. And he now has one down in Grove, Oklahoma. And it's an excellent radio station in the area. But what they're trying to do is, they're pointing out here is that she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. Not only she, but he. But the Apostle Paul is pointing out that more women are left out of the marriage. The husband moves on and does what he wants to do. But there must have been women in this church that were in this situation. And so what they're trying to point out is, she marry whom she will, but only in the Lord. And marriage, I mean, pastor, when he gives counsel to marriage, he goes through some pretty extensive questions. I know when I got married, they said, okay, you're going to raise your children in the church? Yeah, I wasn't a Christian at the time. I said, sure, why not? You know, what's wrong with that? I didn't know any better. Well, guess what? Our children were raised in the church. You know, it's exciting to realize that taking the marriage vows are important. And Pastor points that out. And here, you know, after the loss of a spouse, the idea is the Christian is to marry another Christian. Now, I've known some that were just, they wanted somebody, they just, the first person to come along, they married. Well, that may or may not work out, but they go through a variety of steps. In fact, as I was going through, it says, it's the intention undoubtedly to affirm that it is proper for a widow to marry one, you know, or that it was proper for a widow to marry no one who was not a Christian. And there's a list of reasons here. And it says, you know, one, they could have no sympathy and no fellow feeling on the most important of all subjects. You know, if a husband and wife aren't both Christians, then there's going to be a difference in so many areas. Some marriages work just fine with that, but there's always going to be that contention. You know, you think of 2 Corinthians 6:14 about be not equally unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, it says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? So it's always going to be there. Even if they can exist together, it's always going to be there, and there's going to be a challenge. The next one is if she should marry a pagan. Well, you know, that kind of follows in with there. You know, some people, they might really like that person and think, I'm going to convert them. Well, we know that that's probably not going to happen. I mean, it could, but it's probably not. You know, it would not be showing that she had not as deep a conviction of the importance and truth of her religion as she ought to have. That's what that says when somebody steps out there. Now, of course, we're not going to go, you know, what's the matter? Did you lose your religion? You know, what was in your mind? Well, you know, that's their choice. And they know, you know, what their choice. I mean, we should not condemn them for that. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to tell them. No, no, it's really not your business. You just pray about it. Pray for it. You know, and it says Christians are required to be separate or to be special people, not to be conformed to the world. How could these precepts be obeyed if a society of pagans was voluntarily chosen? So, you know, it's like that choice. The other is she would, in this way, greatly hinder her usefulness and put herself in the control of one who has no respect for her religion, who would demand her time and attention and thus interfere with her attendance in public and private duties of religion and offices of church of Christian charity. So that can hinder somebody, male and female. A fourth one was she would thus greatly endanger her piety. Testimony. The testimony is going to be affected by that. And people are not going to, you know, maybe they had a very, you know, maybe they were out visiting, soul winning, handing out tracts, just vibrant for the Lord, you know, on fire, sold out as somebody could, and then they marry somebody and all of a sudden the light dims. Or could. Might not. It could. But then you wonder, well, what's really going on? And, you know, so the person would not have maybe as much of an impact. Well, man, that person was really on fire for the Lord. Wow, since she married that person, or he married that person, they're really a whole lot different now. And sometimes those questions can come in play. So it's kind of important, you know, that if a person loses a spouse, that they carefully consider, one, maybe God doesn't have a mate out there for them. Maybe God does want them to be single. Because that's what it's talking about in verse 40. You know, so with B here, the next one is, you know, free to marry only in the Lord. And that's what these last four things we're talking about was, carefully consider who they're going to marry. Are they going to marry somebody of like precious faith? You know, it's interesting. You know, we've got some friends that, you know, one's a Mormon and one goes to the Church of Christ. That makes it really interesting. And I had another one that was, he was Catholic and his wife was Jehovah's Witness. You know, all sorts of things. Well, now the Catholic and the Jehovah's Witness, he got saved, started coming to church with us when we were stationed in Connecticut, and several years later, I got a note from him saying that his wife had gotten saved. So, you know, those instances, that can happen. It's just while they were unsaved and she wasn't saved, it was a real interesting conversation going on in their family. And, you know, I got suckered into talking to them about the Lord. And she kept bringing out all these Jehovah's Witness books. And we kept taking her back to the Bible, back to the Bible, back to the Scripture, back to Christ. She said, you make a really good politician. You get back to Christ all the time. I says, that's the focus. That's who we're supposed to be with. Okay, I guess I'll listen for a bit. Seed was planted. Her husband kept nurturing that. And they eventually got married. She got saved. But it was exciting. But when a person loses a spouse, it's a challenge. I don't know what I would do if I lost my wife. We were chuckling about that. I said, who'd fix my meals? Who'd wash my clothes? Who would tell me that I need to clean my office up once in a while? No, she never says that. She never does that. She probably wants to once in a while. Where is such and such? I said, over there by that pile of whatever. You know, yeah, you don't want to go into my office. It's, you know, I know where things are. But, you know, if I lost my wife, and we were talking about that, what would we do? You know, we don't know until that happens. That's really what it comes down to. We don't know until that happens. Whether God says, okay, just go on with your life. I think of Frank Appendorf, yeah, who come to visit. Yeah. You know, and the man, he's a retired teacher. He goes around to college campuses all around the nation. I think he was married, I believe. His wife has since died. Man loves the Lord. But the Lord's taking care of him. And he knows how to pray. He knows what to do. He knows that I'm just going to stay single. Just in verse 40, if she so abide after my judgment, like the Apostle Paul said, I'm just going to focus on what God wants me to do. That's probably what might happen with me. I don't know. My wife said the same thing. She says, don't die. I want somebody to figure out, what bills to pay. I've got it all written down on the wall, And the people, Sylvia would wonder who'd do her taxes. What do I do? Live forever, right? Well, we are. We're all going to live forever. We don't have to worry about that. But, losing a spouse, though, it does take a toll on a person, and it may affect their ministry. I think your dear friend Betty, when she passed away, and the impact that it had on her family, and the impact that it had on her friends. My wife asked her shortly after we were going to church with them, and she did stained glass work. She's got a beautiful lighthouse that she did for me. I think it was for one of my birthdays, yeah. It's written on there somewhere. and the beautiful work, so I look at that. I've seen the other work that she's done. But the impact when she passed of, Lord, why'd you take that person out of my life? And that would be the question I'd ask. Of course, God will say, well, you'll do just fine. Just trust me. And that's what it comes down to. And so here, the Apostle Paul, he's not jumping up and down saying, the law says you got to do this. Well, the only real law that he's laying out is that when a person is married, that as long as the two are alive and should they separate, then in reality, neither should remarry. But if one dies, then they're free to marry, as it says here. And then only in the Lord. He's trying to get people to focus on the fact that you're servants of God. You belong to God. So therefore, you need to make sure that your union is together. And that's what he's trying to point out here. Marrying is a lifetime commitment. Stuff happens, we know that. Sometimes it happens, and like I said earlier, we thank the Lord that we've gotten through this situation and we move on with our lives. And then God brings people into our lives that makes us whole again for whatever reason, or we choose to go through there. So it's, eggshells up here, I'm sorry. But free to remarry in the Lord only when the husband or the wife passes on. And then free to remain unmarried. And the Apostle Paul, he's always leaning that direction, But there were those false teachers, and it says, regardless, you got to be celibate. You can't be married and serve God. So therefore, if you are married, you got to get separate, you got to divorce, and both of you can serve the Lord, focus on the Lord, and move on. That's not what the Apostle Paul was trying to say. He's saying, whatever you choose, the direction you go, if you choose to stay unmarried, then serve the Lord, focus on the Lord. Don't let the world start drawing you all sorts of directions. Some people go, oh man, I'm not married. I can serve the Lord, but man, I can go out here and have a party. Some people get into that idea, and that's not right. Or they can do, but what he's trying to point out was that it's in his opinion, as he laid this to these false teachers that were pushing celibacy, but he's also saying, also, I have the Spirit of God. As he was presenting this, he was pointing out that the Holy Spirit lives within me. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit is guiding me in this situation. It may be my opinion as I lay it, but the Holy Spirit's guiding and directing me. It's like pastor, when he gives his opinion behind here, the Holy Spirit's guiding and directing him. And if he can show you in Scripture, then it's laid down that way. The Apostle Paul shows there's no law that says you have to be married, and there's no law that says you have to be single to be servants. That's what he's trying to point out. He says, it's a choice. If you choose to do this, you know, whatever lot you're in. So he's laying it as, listen, the Holy Spirit's guiding and directing me. But oftentimes we can't find it in Scripture. That's how we make the choice. God gives us that right choice when we pray about it and listen to him carefully. He gives us the right words. Oftentimes we tell him what we want to hear and then move on, and then usually it happens that, okay, I'll do it your way. You know, it's like opening the box and throwing the instructions over there, throwing the other package of extra parts over there and wondering, okay, where'd all the parts go? And why do I have extra parts now? Oh, go back and read the instructions. You always get a kick out of kits when you buy them, and you do read the instructions, you look through there, you will find contained in this bag, dot, 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 dot. Well, sometimes there's missing one, or you have extra ones. You know, tool bin gets filled with that extra one. Hopefully you don't throw it in there before you find out that you need it. But it's important, you know, for us to listen to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. That if we find ourselves in those situations, then we just do what the Lord has us to do. If we're going to be servants for the Lord, we focus on him. Back where it says, you know, that we have, you know, the cares of the world, where we are as if we're not married, or as if we had not bought, or as if we didn't have a family, in preparation for persecution, so that there won't be a worry in there. But the Apostle Paul's not talking about that here. He's talking about when you choose this in life. And so what he's trying to do is tell the false teachers there, no, it's not a rule. You have to be celibate to serve the Lord. He says you can serve the Lord in both capacities. In this one, yep, you're going to focus on your spouse, but you're also going to focus on the Lord. So you have double duty. And in some ways, I personally stated, God's getting double duty out of a married couple, especially when they're focused on the Lord. Doesn't diminish the ministry that either one has. But it's real interesting as we go through there, that, you know, we're going to close things down is in 7, is it to honor and serve God no matter our lot in life. You know, now there's an interesting way to look at this. You know, the envy thing that goes on. I've had people, and in fact, the case study, I thought about bringing it out, but it was, you know, the two people wish they had each other's lives, you know, trading places. How many ever saw that reality show that was on, I think, HGTV, Trading Places, where two couples, there would be a designer would come in, and they would go to the other person's house, and they would design the house the way the designer told them to do, but in the others, you know. Some people come in and the real joy of, wow, this is really nice. We'd have done it this way. And then the look on the other people's face, you walk over and going, what happened? And you know, you got to live with this now. And I think a couple of times I actually pointed out what really happened. You know, when that person walked in, well, yeah, we repainted everything. Or we redid the finish on it. But, you know, they were going to live in that house for the period of time based on what the other person did. I would hope that they're really, really good friends and they know what each other wants, because that's what they ask questions. Now, what would your neighbor, what would your other person, what would they like to have done to their house? And then the designer goes in and kind of says, well, we'll do it this way then. So no matter what the lot in life we have, whether we're married or whether we're single, we're to honor and serve the Lord in that position. So if you're single, you know, the question comes up is, what's the main focus of your life? Is it yourself or is it the Lord? And if you're married, you know, who's first in the marriage? Is it you or the spouse? You know, those are questions that come up when you think about that. And like I said, I could only imagine what the look on the people's face when they were reading this. The Apostle Paul was laying out before them going, you know, you don't have to be single to serve the Lord. You don't have to be celibate. But, he says, please, if you're going to be single, focus on the Lord. focus on what God has given you. Don't be envious of the married couple, because God's going to give you the companionship you need. And vice versa. You know, with the married person, sometimes people get in marriage and they think it's, you know, a drudgery. It's like we mentioned earlier, the ball and chain. It's horrible. Well, that person should be sat down and have a nice talking to about, well, then why did you get married? And those questions should go through their mind. It says, now that you're married, you've made a commitment for life. You're going to serve the Lord will make your marriage happy. Because that's truly what makes a marriage work and function, is the Lord. And I'm thankful for nearly 48 years that I've been married. It's not been easy. It's oftentimes, you know, I think that one of the reasons is we were separate for a while, but we had a time to pray for each other when we were apart. And that God used that time, saying, now, see what happens? This person's not here. Look what you have to put up with. So you, when we come back together, we have a reuniting and realizing, thankful that I'm married. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my family. And a single person says, I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful that the Lord has taken care of my needs and given me focus in my life. Otherwise, the service for the Lord doesn't work out if we don't have that focus. You know, realizing that they, no matter what our lot in life, we shouldn't envy either position, but we should just focus on the Lord. And that's the whole of what we need to look at. And as I was going through, I had a, you know, the where it talks about in verse 32, we should endeavor to live in all things as our mind, or as our mind should not be oppressed with undue anxiety and care. That where they were talking about in there is, you know, I would have you be without carefulness. He that is unmarried, care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord, but he that is married cares for the things of the world. And then there's, it goes down through a difference and lays out how we should not be concerned for the things of the world and let that be the anxieties, but to focus on the Lord, because he'll take care of all that. And during this time frame, the persecution that was happening to the people that was there, you know, a married family would be worried for one another because of the persecution. Well, we're going to be thrown out of our house. Now we have to figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to be taken care of. And they say, well, the single person, well, they still have the same concerns. If I'm thrown out of a shelter, I can't find employment, I can't find food. But the Lord will take care of in both situations. And, you know, you can read story after story after story about families and people that were persecuted and how the Lord took care of them. You know, I think of the widow that Elisha, you know, was given by. He said, well, you know, they were about to have their last meal and they were going to die. Well, Elijah told them, you know, fix me a cake and we'll take care of it. Next thing you know, they had all the meal and oil that they needed. It never ran out. And the other where they told him, okay, go to your neighbor's house and all the people around and find all the pots you can, and you can sell the oil and take care of yourself. The Lord provides in both cases. And that's what the Apostle Paul is laying out in this chapter, you know, is, as the title said, you know, marriage knotted or not, and, you know, tying the knot. If you tie a knot properly, it's not going to come loose. If you tie some knots, they're a slip knot. I have a book called Ashley's Book of Knots, and he goes through some 4,000 or 5,000 knots and their uses. Some of them he puts a skull and crossbones next to. He says they're a decorative knot, but don't use them for a working knot. He says because somebody's going to die. You look at how if things are tied properly, and when they're tied in the Lord, they're tied properly, and he's going to take care of us. So when it comes down to the choice, what our lot in life is, how we serve the Lord, and is based on what our choice was. If we're married, We can serve the Lord just as faithfully as a single person. But we also have double duty. And a single person, they can have double duty too. They might have another a ministry in serving the Lord that has them taking care of somebody. I think of Anna. In fact, she's not here with her, taking care of her grandmother. That's a burden. You know, single people that can fall into. So whatever lot we have in life, we serve the Lord. He's going to reward us and show us that we don't have to succumb to what the world wants us to be. We need to be what the Lord wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the truth that's in your word. We thank you for the knowledge that we gain from looking into your